Last week, we did the concept of Shalom, peace. We're in the middle of the bracha Sim Shalom, which is, as we said, the 19th, the last bracha of the Shemayna Esrei. It doesn't feel that it's the last one to us because we do say another paragraph, which I don't know if we'll get to manage to discuss that today, but if not, we'll do that next week. But Sim Shalom is considered the last of the actual Shemayna Esrei. And last week we went in depth about the whole, you know, sort of the more philosophical idea and why is peace the last bracha and how it is the bridge between the Shemayna Esrei and the rest of the day. And now we are in the middle. We started last week to go through the words. This is quite a wordy bracha in the sense where there are, it's actually a magnificent bracha. It contains tremendous, tremendous brachas, really. And what we're asking for from Hashem are quite beautiful, beautiful things, and each word contains so much. So we'll go through and we'll see what we cover today. And last week we read from the beginning of the bracha, Sim Shalom Tov Uvracha, bestow peace, goodness, and blessing. We went into all those words, and we went into the word Chayim, which is life, and then Chayin, as we mentioned, graciousness. And today we are up to the word Vachesed. So it's just there, just at the beginning of the bracha, what we're asking from Hashem, that He should bestow upon us. These are the things that we're asking to be bestowed. And we have to understand, what does chesed mean? What is chesed referring to? What are we asking for when we're asking for chesed? Okay, so again, as I know I say it all the time, but I do ask again forgiveness if I do repeat. There are many, many different tzaddikim who have given interpretations and explanations on the Siddur. And I have a few beautiful books which put a lot of them together. And some of them are just slightly different, so, you know, but they're so beautiful. So, like I said, please forgive me if it is repetitive, but let's see what chesed means. So, just generally, we translate chesed as kindness, but what is kindness? So, we know that when somebody bestows kindness, the idea of kindness, and that's entire kindness, chesed is compared to water. Just like water goes from a high place and it drips down to a low place. Kindness means that you're bestowing something upon somebody who has less than you, right? You have more, you're in a higher position, and they're in a lower position. And the idea over here is that what we picture is that Hashem is bestowing us with kindness. And the lower we feel, almost, in a sense, the more humble we feel, the more we are worthy, and not only worthy, but the more kindness we'll get. Because, as we say, naturally, kindness flows downwards. So the more humble, the more kindness we'll actually be able to receive. Then we go to, it says, chesed virachamim. And really, these two words, will sort of put them a little bit together. So what are we asking for here? We're asking, as we say, for kindness, and rachamim, compassion or mercy. So it's very interesting because we're addressing Hashem and we want Hashem to bestow us with these things. We relate to these attributes because either we show them to other people or we have been shown them by other people. But we understand that when they come from Hashem, they have very, very unique way. Obviously, Hashem is very different to a human being. So when we say chesed virachamim aleinu, that we want Hashem to show us and to bestow us with kindness and with compassion, what is unique? What are we asking for here? So we say usually when it's from one human being to another, compassion is shown to somebody who has less, somebody who's nebach, you know, like you say, that's why you have rachmanis on them. When they look like they need compassion because they're missing something. But with Hashem, we say, it doesn't work that way. Hashem actually has, it's actually a very beautiful formula, which is explained by one of the great tzaddikim, tzaddik from Biala. He says like this, that God's compassion is eternal. What does that mean? It means like this. That what does Hashem do? First of all, He gives us a tremendous amount of chesed, a tremendous amount of kindness, which means that He enriches us, so to speak. He gives us a tremendous amount of bounty. That's what chesed is. And after that, He has compassion. Usually, if somebody has a tremendous amount, well, you don't have compassion on them. You look at them and you say, well, he has everything he needs. Why do I have to have compassion? So what does this compassion mean that Hashem shows us? It's actually compassion which comes with a deep, deep, deep love, a deep feeling of love for the person. What does that mean? So Hashem gives us, he says, like it says it beautifully. First, Hashem gives us chesed, that we should have tons and tons. And afterwards, he reveals his compassion, which means he reveals his very deep connection that he has with us, his deep love, and that's with us forever. Okay, that's one way to understand it. Okay, so first chesed, and then the special love that the compassion shows. But then we know something else about compassion. And why is it such an important part of the bracha? Because we know that without compassion, without rachmanis, the world couldn't exist. What does that mean? Because Hashem made us human beings and we're fallible. We make mistakes. That's the nature of being a human being. So we do, unfortunately, we don't always follow exactly what Hashem says. Unfortunately, we do things that we shouldn't do. If the world would exist in a way where there was no compassion, what would that would mean is that once we mess up, especially if we mess up badly, well, then we should be finished. That's it. You know, if you do something very, very bad, well, then you're a lost cause. But because Hashem has compassion, what he has done is he has put into the world order, so to speak, the concept of tshuva, the concept that, and this is actually a miraculous thing, this is godly, that retroactively we can change something that we've done in the past. Naturally, in the physical world, you can't. Once something is done, it's done. But when it comes spiritually, Hashem says, I give you, because I have compassion on you, the ability to retroactively look back, reflect, I've made a mistake, but that doesn't mean I'm stuck in that mistake. Now I can do tshuva, and I can reconnect myself with Hashem, and I can erase, literally erase, the negativity that I did through that Avera. This is the greatest, greatest compassion. So that's another thing that we think about when we say this word. We thank Hashem for the ability that we have to do tshuva and not to be stuck in all the things that we perhaps might feel stuck in, we should never feel. We can always change, and we don't have to feel overloaded with guilt for the past. The other thing also, it says, when we talk about Hashem's compassion is unique in that Hashem has compassion upon the people who nobody else has compassion on. There are some people that are almost whatever, they're so whatever that they don't evoke compassion. So we say that Hashem has compassion on everybody, even the person who nobody else has compassion on. And this is said by the son of the Vilna Gaon. And then he says another very beautiful thing, that Hashem, what does Hashem have compassion on? And this comes through in a few ways here in this paragraph. Hashem has compassion upon the godly soul that we have, because we know we're made up of a godly soul and an animal soul. And this actually is a little bit dependent on us. As much as we remember and bring to the forefront and focus on our godly soul, what happens is that arouses in Hashem compassion for this godly soul that finds itself in quite a, not in a very nice environment, not in the most hospitable environment. So this arouses the compassion of Hashem. So Hashem has compassion on our godly soul. That's said by the Sfas Emes. The other thing, then we go on and we say, Aleinu va'al kol Yisrael amecha, right? What do we want? We want Hashem to have compassion on us and on all of the Jewish people. Well, what we mean here, and remember, this is all part of the bracha of Shalom, is obviously, first of all, when we ask, we don't just ask for ourselves, because we feel united now with everybody around us. So we ask also that Hashem should help us, that there shouldn't be any division between us. There shouldn't be any jealousy, any hatred. Rather, we should have a sense of achdus, a sense of unity. And in this words, looking, the Yoros Dvashi says that what we should have in mind is that Hashem should help us, that throughout the day we should be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Yahavta L'Reacha Kameicha. So here's where we ask, when we say Va'al Kol Yisrael Amecha, well, obviously we're talking about Hashem showing compassion to the entire Jewish nation, but we're asking that we should be able to feel united with everybody else and be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Avas Yisrael throughout the day. So that's one place that we ask for that. And then we even go stronger. And this is a very important phrase in this paragraph. We say to Hashem, Barcheinu Avinu Kulanu Ke'echad. right? So that what do we ask him? Bless us, our Father, all of us as one. So we have the famous idea that's actually explained very, very detailed in Tanya, that the only way that we will receive any of these blessings, and we're going to see there's more blessings coming, any of these beautiful blessings and any of the requests that we asked for in the Shemayna Esrei previously is only when we are united, when we come kulanu ke'echad. The bracha only rests upon us when we are as one. And one of the reasons is, it's interesting, because being as one with the Jewish people, what that means is, in a nutshell, how can we feel united with everybody else? Only when, what is our perspective? That the neshama is our primary force, and the animal soul, in other words, all the materialistic parts of ourselves, the physical parts of ourselves, that's only a secondary part. The primary part is our godly soul. Now, if we make our godly soul our primary focus, what that brings out in us is that when we look at another Jew, what do we see? What is his main part? His godly soul. So all of the things that are wrong with him, all the lacks and all the things that usually bother us, they sort of fall by the wayside, because the main important, so to speak, the primary part is his godly soul, and every Jew's godly soul is holy. Now, when we do that, what that does is that means that we, since I have a godly soul, you have a godly soul, and where is this soul? It's a part of Hashem, which means that we are all truly brothers. That brings out the unity between us, and all of the things which naturally divide us fall away. So for sure, the bracha of Hashem only will rest upon us when we have our perspective, our values, in the correct way. So that's why, Barcheinu Avinu, Kulanu Ke'echad. So what do? We ask Hashem to bless us. We notice, we emphasize the godliness, the spirituality, and then Hashem has also, as we said before, compassion on this godly soul that sometimes finds itself in an environment that it perhaps shouldn't, but Hashem has deep compassion. And through that, what happens with that compassion is a very beautiful thing, is that when we, very interesting, there's a fascinating thing, that if there is a feeling of division, or a feeling of, I don't know, you find somebody quite difficult to be with, one of the things that actually is explained in Tanya, a very good way to overcome that, is if you look at the person and you arouse compassion on them, for whatever reason, maybe, you know, you say to yourself, Nebach, that they act this way, obviously, I don't know, they're insecure, whatever it may be. So you arouse compassion, first of all, on their godly soul that's stuck inside this coarseness, or you just also have compassion on the way they're acting. Compassion takes away hatred and leads to love. In a space where there's compassion, there's no hatred. In a space where there's compassion, it definitely leads to love. And this is the idea, Barcheinu Avinu Kulanu Ke'echad. Then we go on to another beautiful part of the thing. Then we say, Ba'or Panecha. Now this is similar, remember we mentioned last week also that the Birchas Kayan and the blessing of the priest, of the high priest, and the priest, not the high priest, all the Kayanim, was also, we had this concept of Panecha, and here, and we had the concept of Shalom. Let's see what Ba'or Panecha here means. Very beautiful idea. So first of all, when we say these words, what we're supposed to have in mind is that we should feel a tremendous joy. This is where joy, interesting, a new component, not just compassion, not just love, not just kindness, but a sense of joy and pleasure, that what we should actually feel, that whatever Hashem is blessing us with, He is doing it with joy. That's what Or Panecha. Or Panecha means, as the English translation, what does it say? By the light of your countenance. But you know, when somebody looks at you and they look at you with love, you can see it on their face, right? When they look at, and when their face is shining, that means that they are, and they give you something in that way, they're doing it with love. So we should feel that all the brachas that we are receiving are being received because Hashem loves us. Now something very beautiful happens. Now I just want to read you something inside. If we feel that, that fills us with a sense of joy, that Hashem is giving us all of our brachas, not because he feels he has to, not because he promised us and he's just fulfilling what he said, but because he actually wants to, with love. That's why his face is shining. So I'm going to show you something. So when a person, I want to just read you something beautiful. It says, it's like an analogy. When a person that his face is like shining with, you know, with tremendous light and joy, what happens? When does a person get excited? When they see somebody that they love, right? That's what makes you also excited. So he says, when a person sees somebody that they truly, truly love, they become filled with joy. And then what happens to the person that you see that you love or that loves you? What happens? An interesting thing happens. You become so filled with joy that actually other things seem to disappear. What does that mean? For a simple example could be, I don't know, you woke up in the morning and, I don't know, your tooth hurts. I mean, toothache is not such a good example because that's quite painful, but something even a little less, something's annoying you, something's bothering you, whether it be physically or emotionally. And then you see somebody that you really, really, really like. It just happens that at least for a few moments, you forget about your pain and you're filled with a sense of joy. You're like, they light up, you light up, and there's this joy. So it's explained that in this paragraph, when we're saying this, we should feel that Hashem is giving us all the brachas with love. His face is shining. And what that does for us is that even though some things in our life are not working at 100%, for a moment at least, we forget about them. They sort of pale away because we're filled with that sense of love and that sense of that light that's coming out of Hashem's face. So we forget about it because of the joy. Then we say, I just want to see another beautiful thing. That's right, that when Hashem, what we believe here is that Hashem is giving us the things that he gives us, Birotzon Gamur, because with true will, he really wants to give it to us. He's not compelled, he wants to, and with joy and with gladness of heart. Another interesting thing when we say Ba'ar Panecha, you know, it's interesting that the face is very expressive. And we know that if you meet somebody who, I don't know, whatever, who has a bit of a grudge or you have a grudge, there's a little bit of tension in your face. But what happens if there was tension and then you ask for forgiveness and you make up? Then what happens is that the face actually changes. All of a sudden, instead of there being a tight face, the face is much more relaxed and there starts to be this shining countenance. So over here we say that this is what we have with Hashem. We feel that Hashem is, as we said before, definitely we have the power of tshuva. But more than that, Hashem truly loves us, and therefore it is Or Panecha. It is the light of his face. There's no tightness, there's just pure joy, pure light coming out. Also interesting thing, the concept of light. So it's a very, very beautiful concept. It's in one of the sefer called Beis Tefillah. He says, when a person, and just this is like figuratively, when a person is grappling in the darkness, which could mean when we feel insecure, we don't know where we're going, things are not very clear, we have a lot of doubts, we have a lot of struggle. That's a state of darkness. And when a person's in a state of darkness, they can't feel anything. It's, you know what it's like? It's like when a person's in a very strong state of anxiety, you don't feel joy, you don't feel love, you don't feel very much. You feel almost numb. That's what it does. It takes over so much that you feel a numbness. So here we're saying that Hashem shows us his shining face, which means that he, so to speak, shines us a ray of light, clarifying things for us, helping us clarify things in our own life, which enables us to start to feel again. Now we can feel, whether it be pain or joy, but we're able to feel, we're not numb anymore. And that's also the idea of Or Panecha, so the light of his face. Okay, also, very important thing it says, that this concept is to do with Emuna. When we talk about the light of Hashem's face, we're talking that Hashem allows us, Hashem gives us, Hashem helps us, and that's what we're asking for, that we should feel deeper and stronger in our emunah, in our faith, and in our realization that everything comes from Him and there's nothing besides Him. So that's a very important one. Also, emunah is called Ar Panecha, and that's what we're asking for here. Okay, another interesting thing also when we say Ar Panecha is also that when we reflect, perhaps even just a few minutes ago before we started to daven and we were struggling with something and we don't know what to do, when we come to this word Ar Panecha, we realize that the truth is that even though we felt confused and we felt that we were in darkness, it's not true. It's just that the light was hidden. But the light is always there. Because in the presence of Hashem, there's always light. It's just sometimes, from our perspective, it's a little bit blocked. So we should realize that in truth, there's always light because we're always in the presence of Hashem. And not only that, but sometimes when we reflect back and we see, let's say, for example, yesterday, the day before, when we were going through something where we felt a darkness and we didn't know what to do, then when we reflect back and we see that we were able to make the right decision or something good came out of it, so we see that Hashem was guiding us, even though we didn't feel it at that moment. And that's Ba'ar Panecha. Then we also say, this is a very, very important one, which we'll run through for the next few. Hashem should show us, very beautiful. Sorry, no, before we get to that, it's just something else. When we say that as we're saying the love, it's that, first of all, He loves us, but He loves being with us. It's like we said before, when you see somebody that you like very much, you're very excited to be with them. That's where you want to be. You want to walk with them. You want to talk to them. You want to be in their presence. So we want to be in Hashem's presence, but it's reciprocal. Hashem wants to be in our presence. And what we say is that, just like we know this famous thing that says that when the snake did the sin in Gan Eden, so what was the, Hashem cursed it and said, you know what, you're going to find your food as dust. You know, that's where you're going to find your food. You're going to eat the dust of the earth. And some people say, what kind of curse is that? That sounds like the greatest blessing. Because there's so much dust, the snake will never be hungry. But what is explained is that the concept is, because there's so much dust, it's found so easily and so freely and so constantly, the snake never turns to Hashem. The snake never has to have a conversation with Hashem. Please, Hashem, can I have my food? Hashem didn't want to have any communication, any connection with the snake. That's the biggest curse. So over here, we thank Hashem. And we say, thank you, Hashem, that you allowed us, and that you enabled us, and that you encouraged us to daven Shmeina Esrei and ask for our needs. And it is so beautiful to know that you want this communication. You want to be with us. And that's what we're saying here also. In Yiddish, they give it very beautiful. It says, you know, sometimes if you really don't like somebody, and unfortunately you're responsible to help them, so what do you say? You say, nem dirunge, you know, like just take it and go. You know, I don't want to be with you. Or panecha means Hashem wants to be with us. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to be in our presence. That's the idea. Okay. So that's a very important one also, a very beautiful feeling that we have. Okay, I just want to see if there's one or two more things on this word, and then we'll move on to the next words. Very interesting also. It says, interesting thing, that in a way these words almost are all-inclusive of everything. It says like this, it says that when Hashem gives us this ha'aras panav, which means He shows us His shining countenance, that really almost includes everything. Because once we have the shining countenance of Hashem, obviously, what happens there in the shining countenance of Hashem, in the presence of Hashem, there's obviously going to be, as we say, all of the other brachas immediately flow. And that's why really it continues. It says, what happens, and we're going to explain these words more in detail, but Ba'ar Panecha, Nasata Lanu Hashem Elikeinu, Toiras Chaim, V'Avas Chesed. Once we're in the presence of Hashem, and in a way where Hashem wants us to be in His presence, then automatically what happens, that's where Hashem gives us the Torah of life, the love of chesed, tzedakah, bracha, all these things. Because as soon as you're in Hashem's presence, all the brachas immediately flow, all the gifts from Hashem flows, and also all the ability for us to grow also flows. So it's like it's a very beautiful, all-encompassing kind of a bracha. And one last thing it says that what we should also have in mind, anu nidvakim bai v'nizharim b'chol midaisav hatayves. When we're in the presence of Hashem, which is what we realize that we are, and not just in the presence, but where Hashem is looking at us, what does that do? You know, if whenever you're in the presence of somebody very good, right, somebody that you really respect and that excels in their midos, that immediately makes you want to improve yourself. Obviously, you want to be worthy to be in their presence. You want to feel, you know, you want to emulate them, but more than that, you want to feel that you deserve almost to be in their presence. When we feel that we're in the presence of Hashem, what that does for us is it actually enables us, it gives us an extra push to look back and to reflect and to say, the Yetzirah seems to be getting a bit of the upper hand, so I'm a little more impatient, so I'm a little, whatever it is, I'm more anxious, whatever it may be that I'm struggling with, maybe it's time for me to realize that I can improve. And I know I can improve, not that I realize, I know, because Hashem's looking at me with love, which gives us that, it empowers us to improve ourselves. And once we improve ourselves, what happens is we actually receive on a deeper level the Torah Schayim, the Torah of life, because we know that the Torah we receive every single day from anew, and we receive it in a deeper way. So in other words, we make the Torah a deeper part of ourselves. And that happens when we truly feel that we are in the presence of Hashem. And it's interesting because it's like a cycle. So the more you feel you're in the presence of Hashem, the more you feel empowered to improve. And the more you improve, then the more you feel you're in the presence of Hashem. So that's what keeps on, it just keeps on going more and more and more and more. Okay, then we want to see Torah's Chaim. What does Torah's Chaim mean? Because obviously the Torah is a Torah of life, we know. But what are we saying here? What do we have in mind when we're talking about that Hashem gives us the Torah's Chaim? So first of all, just on a simple level, we say that we should realize that our whole life force comes through the Torah. What do we get energized from? Not from the physical world, not from the material pleasures. What's our focus? What's our life? As we say, Torah's Chaim. What really makes us tick? What is it that we have passion for? That is the Torah. And then what happens, the Sfas Emes says that if we feel that our true enjoyment, our true pleasure, our true life energy comes from Torah, then Hashem says that the Torah will give us life even in this world. So to speak, it will help us with our physical day-to-day life. And a very fascinating thing that's explained is that, you know, we have many, many different mitzvahs. And even though we don't know exactly how this works, but just in a very general way, there are certain mitzvahs that, for example, that we do with our mouth, like with our digestive system. So we eat kosher food. Kosher food has to do with food. Food is what we eat and we digest. So, and there's other mitzvahs that have to do with different parts of the body, like you go to shul and you hear the Kriya HaTorah. So tzaddikim know this, and we don't know exactly, but what we do know generally is that the mitzvahs that we do with the different parts of our body actually is a flow of energy from Hashem to those parts of the body, even physically. In other words, that if a person is extra careful with kashrus, it could help them if they have issues in their stomach. It could. It doesn't mean we don't work that way. In other words, that's not why we do the mitzvah. And we don't, when we have a problem, we go to a doctor. But this is just a general idea that every mitzvah has a corresponding limb physically within our body. And therefore, when we say Torah's Chaim, the Torah is literally our life, spiritually and physically. And it's connected to every single part of our life. And we transfer like the energy from the mitzvah to each and every individual limb. The truth is that the Rebbe, for some people, did do that. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, I know somebody here in Sydney even, that they had many allergies very, very bad allergies. And the Rebbe told them that they should be extra careful and kashrus, extra stringent. So that's a tzaddik can do that. But we do all the mitzvahs because that's what Hashem said. And we hope that through the mitzvahs, we will gain, obviously, spiritually, but we will also find more energy in our physical life as well. As we say also, Torah's Chaim, what we're meant to realize is that our entire life force is dependent on the Torah. That when we learn Torah, we feel restored. We feel rejuvenated. Like when we finish a shir, not we're more tired, but we're hopefully less tired. We feel enlivened, as we say. That's what Torah's Chaim, it gives us life. The Torah actually gives us energy, gives us life. Then we say, V'ahavas chesed. Now, this is interesting because we already mentioned that Hashem is going to show us chesed. What is ahavas chesed? And this is so beautiful. Ahavas chesed is deeper because ahavas chesed is the concept that we don't just want the chesed of Hashem. We want Hashem to give us a love of doing chesed. Now, we all know we're Jewish and we do lots of chesed, right? Baruch Hashem, that's the good human being, does chesed, right? We're kind to other people, we see what people need and we help them. But we know that there's a very big difference between doing chesed because it's the right thing to do, or perhaps you feel compelled, and doing chesed because you love it, because you actually find pleasure in it, because it gives you, it like really, you really, really love it. And we know that when a person does chesed because they love doing chesed, not only is it much nicer for the person, but the way they do the chesed is much deeper. You will go way out of your way to do it 100,000,000%. You'll be looking for opportunities to do chesed, and you will never resent the other person to whom you are doing the chesed. So this is what we're asking, that Hashem should instill within us a love of chesed, that we should truly love doing chesed. That's a very big one. I have to read you just this. I feel bad today. I don't screen share on this share. I find it a little hard, but I just have to read and translate. These are beautiful words from the Chafetz Chaim. Look how he explains it beautifully. I have to read it in his words. He says like this, that it was organized in the Siddur. Hayda'a l'makay malzeh. A thank you to Hashem for this. Sha'anu aymrim b'siyum ha'tfilah, that we say at the end of davening. Ki ba'ar panecha nasata lanu Hashem aleikenu. Tairas chayim v'ahavas chesed. Right? That with the light of your countenance you have given us a Torah of life and a love of chesed. So the Chafetz Chaim says, Hainu, me'eis shenis gale lanu, from the time when it was revealed to us, Or panav yisparech, the light of Hashem, right, as we said, ba'or panecha. When was Hashem revealed to us? B'maimed har Sinai, when we stood at Mount Sinai, and Hashem revealed himself to us. What happened then? Nisparer lahem az, it became very clear to the Jewish people there, and we were all there. Ba'oysay maimed hakadosh, and that holy experience that we have. Eich shekol hamitzius kula, how our entire existence, kiyuma uparnasasa, our existence and our parnasa, our financial security, everything that we have, he tluya, is dependent, rak bechasta yisparech, only and solely and totally on the kindness of Hashem, shehum loichal haaretz, that he fills the whole earth. So at the time of Matan Torah, we were filled with the absolute, like, clear realization that everything that we have and everything that we need, so to speak, comes only from Hashem. And Hashem fills the earth. Right? Hashem supplies food for all flesh because his kindness is forever. Uksiv, and it says, Chesed Hashem mala haaretz. The kindness of Hashem fills the earth. Oylam chesed yibane, and the whole world is built on chesed, on kindness. And therefore, the Chafetz Chaim says, Al kein yisdabek adam tamid bimidazu. So a person should always try his hardest to excel in this midah. This midah, this attribute, should be the one that he really, really lives like constantly with. ubischusa yiyeh lo kiyum bazeh ubeba. And in that merit, he will actually be able to continue to exist in this world and in the world to come. So the whole world is dependent, as we say, on Hashem's chesed. Chesed is what makes the world go round. We ask Hashem to give us a love of chesed, and that we should be aware of this at all times. We know that's what the Chavetz Chaim personified. I think there's a story about him. I know he had a shop. I think his wife really ran it. But apparently that there was another store nearby, and he would only allow the store to be open to earn enough money that they needed to live for that day, because he didn't want to take away parnasa from anybody else. You know, the kindness, the constant thinking of the other person first, this is what he lived. I mean, this was his example. But what he says to us, we should ask Hashem to also give us that love of chesed. Then we say tzedakah. Now, what is tzedakah? So usually we think of tzedakah as giving money, tzedakah. But tzedakah, the truth is, comes from the word tzedek. Tzedek means righteousness. So first of all, we ask Hashem that we should merit to do what's right, because it's the right thing to do. That's what righteousness is, to conduct ourselves constantly in the right way. It's not simple. And we ask Hashem, even a little bit deeper, that he should... that we should be able to know what the right thing to do is. In other words, in Yiddish, you know, you use the word that a person should go gleich. That we shouldn't go in a convoluted way. We shouldn't go crooked and all around and messing around. We should know what the way of tzedek v'yosher is. What's the right way? How we should be behaving? What's the right thing to do in the circumstance? This is what we ask for. So we should be able to do it both with our character traits and with what we understand with our mind. Let me just see. And there was one more also. Then it does. There's another explanation that's similar to chesed, that the word ava goes on both. So we say avas chesed. Let me just see. Utzdaka, even though it's really a different part. But an explanation is that Hashem should also instill us with a love of giving tzedakah. So first of all, I have to read you this also. Very beautiful. So who is it in the name of? Oh, the Chassam Sofer. So I just want to show you something beautiful. He says like this, that Hashem, when we say these words, we should ask Hashem, he should give us a love of giving tzedakah. Tzedakah is not always so easy to give, but we should love giving tzedakah. But not only that, but Hashem should give us the means that we should be able to give tzedakah. Because if we don't have the means, we can't do it. So here's where we're asking for that as well. So as we say, Yitein lanu ha'efsharus lasei tzedakah, the ability to give tzedakah. But also, as he says even deeper, he says that Hashem should give us the ava v'ratzein, the love and the will, lasei tzedakah im anashim, to do tzedakah with people, mitoich simcha shel mitzvah, with joy, v'tuv levav, and a good heart. And he gives examples. What kind of tzedakah are we talking about? Bein b'nesinas zman. Most people don't think of that as tzedakah, but it's the greatest tzedakah. Giving somebody else what is our most precious commodity, which is time. Giving somebody else time. If you give somebody else time and you love to give them time, you do it with joy, not resentment, not worrying every single second what you're really supposed to be doing or what you could be doing or what all the things that you have to do. Rather, you give them time. That is also in this, that's what we're asking Hashem to give us, that ability. That is tzedakah. To do what? Time, lishmaya divrei hazulas. Time to actually listen to what the other person has to say. That means that we have to actually be present when we're with them. Bein b'haras panim l'chol echad, whether it be also to show another person a smile. Bein b'divrei chizuk v'idud, that we should be able to encourage and support other people. Bein b'hachnasas archim, whether we should be able to have guests, visitors in our home. All of these things are in the idea of tzedakah. And then he continues and he says beautifully, the Marsha actually says that Hashem should supply us with all that we need to be able to give tzedakah. And he says also we should have in mind not only us, but Hashem should also give our children everything that they need, so they should also be able to give tzedakah. So it's also a very beautiful thing. It says, bun in beautiful languages, bun in bale aishar, children who are wealthy, who are able to give tzedakah, and that they should merit to have this mitzvah of giving tzedakah. Okay, then also, another thing, tzedakah. So tzedakah, we know, it means many things. There's righteousness, giving tzedakah, like helping. But also tzedakah means that you feel that you are, everything you have is tzedakah from Hashem, as we said, like with chesed. So it says a beautiful thing that the Maggid of Kashnit says, that there's actually a pasuk in Bereishis. It says, "Ve'hemin b'Hashem," that Avraham had faith in Hashem. "Vayachsheveha loy tzedakah," and it was considered as a tzedakah. There's many ways to explain this pasuk, but he's saying over here that we should be thinking here that we thank Hashem that He enables us, that He allows us, that He gives us the ability to have faith in Him. And that's the greatest tzedakah that He has given us. So according to this, it's not our tzedakah, it's Hashem's tzedakah. What is Hashem's tzedakah? That He allows us to have faith in Him. And this is what we also thank Hashem for over here. Now we go on and we say, ubracha. Now bracha is a very general word, as we know. But bracha signifies a very interesting thing. It signifies a bountiful amount, a lot, in a very unlimited way. And it also symbolizes a concept of, in a sense, freedom. What does bracha have to do with freedom? Because if we acknowledge and if we truly, truly believe and we truly internalize that everything we have comes directly from Hashem and is we are only dependent, not only are we totally dependent, but we are only dependent on Hashem, not on anybody else, well, that frees us from worrying about anybody or anything else. We have now only one worry, to do the right thing for Hashem. But this is the greatest bracha possible, as we say that we should be drawn after our true source, who is the source of all bracha. So here what we concentrate on is to realize that who is the source of all our blessings? It is Hashem. And therefore we rely totally and solely on Hashem. That's what this Vasemes says. And as we also interesting, it says that Hashem really wants to constantly be giving us a bracha. So that's what we should also remember. It's like, it's always so beautiful when you receive something from somebody and you know that they really want to give it to you. It just makes it so much easier to take it. Not only does it make it easier to take it, but it almost makes you like you're doing that person a favor because you're giving them so much pleasure. And when we realize that Hashem is like eager, He's literally waiting to shower us with His brachas, that makes it for us that obviously obviously, we're open to receive all the brachas that Hashem wants to give us. Then we say rachamim. Now, we already had rachamim before. Hashem should show us compassion. And we said Hashem's compassion is different. What is this rachamim? So here again, similarly to what we said before, ahavas chesed, Hashem should give us love of doing kindness. So here we're not asking for compassion from Hashem. We're asking that Hashem should give us the attribute of compassion, that we should be compassionate people. This is a very important thing. And this is what we ask for here, that we should be able to have compassion in the deepest and the strongest way possible, not to be judgmental, not to be blocked, not to be cold-hearted, and not even sometimes when we do certain things, certain types of behavior actually makes a person less compassionate. And sometimes we have to engage in those types of behavior for a certain period of time, or sometimes we don't have to, but unfortunately we do behave in certain types of behavior. And we ask Hashem that He should restore our compassion, that we should be compassionate people, and we should truly feel somebody else's pain. We should truly feel somebody else's lack. So this is a very big thing also. And then, as we mentioned also before, similar, that what is this compassion on? When we have this compassion, we should remember that the compassion should be on the soul more than anything else of the other person, meaning to say, on what really matters about what the other person is missing, that should arouse us with the greatest compassion. So yes, it's true, of course we have compassion. The person doesn't have what to eat, doesn't have what to drink. Of course we have compassion and we should supply them and we should want to do all the chesed. But then when we see people who are lacking, whether it be spiritually, sometimes people are struggling with other issues, sometimes it doesn't arouse such a deep compassion. Sometimes we might even say to ourselves, well, let them just pick up their own socks. You know, why don't they just do something for themselves? But no, what we ask here is that we should have true compassion, that we should feel for the other person, and hopefully, maybe we can assist them in going in the right way. Obviously, at the end, the person has to make the right decision, but we can hopefully help them a little bit. And then we finish and we say, V'tayv beinecha levarech. Okay, it finishes. V'racham and v'chayim v'shalom, right? Obviously, with life and with peace. And it should be good in your eyes to bless all of the Jewish people. I know maybe it's a drop to finish the Ashkenaz, b'chol esu, b'chol shah, b'shloimecha, at all times and at every moment with your peace, right? We know this we need constantly, and we know that Hashem is creating the world constantly, and Hashem is re-giving us and re-energizing and re-blessing us every single moment of the day. And this is what we ask for. Also, especially, this is the last bracha, so we want this to continue. We should be able to take all this inspiration with us throughout the day. And that's what we're asking for, that Hashem should continue, and together we should, as we said, united, Hashem should bless us and all of the Jewish people, all of the people around us in the shul and in our community, with everything that they need, and enable everybody to be able to be better people, as we say, and do Torah mitzvahs properly, and live a fulfilled, energized life. Now that's the bracha of Shalom. The truth is, the end of the Shemayin Esrei, we're going to do it next week, it also says Oysa Shalom, so we'll leave that for now. There's so much, but that's all for now. And I'd like to go now to one very important sentence that we'll start today. The last paragraph of Shemayin Esrei is called Elokai Nitzar. As we say, it's not really a paragraph, that's not even correct to say, but it's the last paragraph that we will be saying with our feet together. It's interesting where it comes from. Before we discuss where that comes from, what's this idea of putting another paragraph there? Shouldn't we be finishing here? So I just want to show you, I just want to read you one verse that we say before this extra paragraph and at the end of the extra paragraph. I'm sure you've noticed there's a pasuk that says, Yihyu l'ratzayin, which is a pasuk from Tehillim, Yihyu l'ratzayin imrei fi, may the words of my mouth be acceptable, the hegyon libi, and the thoughts in my heart, lifanecha, they should be acceptable before you. Hashem tsuri v'goyali, Hashem is my strength and my redeemer. What is this pasuk, and why do we put it here, and why do we put it here, and at the end of the next paragraph? So I just want to show you a few things on it before we understand what the pasuk means. And let's see, so I just want to read you from the Mishnah Berurah. This is just halachically, where it comes in the Shemayna Esrei. So it says like this, something very interesting. I'll show you like this. Let me just read you from the Shulchan Aruch first. It says, Sheyesh loymar pasuk yiyu l'ratzein im refi. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that we should say this verse, Koidem Elokai Nitzar, before the paragraph of Elokai Nitzar, V'ro'i l'chaven b'pasuk zema'id, we should have real deep kavana when we say this pasuk, ki hu gam kein me'ikar tefilas Shemayna Esrei, because it's also a very main part of the process of the Shemayna Esrei, she'tiknu v'sidrei anshei Knesset Hagdola, which the anshei Knesset Hagdola organized and set up. And I just want to read you what the Mishnah Berurah says. So this is a Sefer Halacha, but it explains in a short, and then we're going to develop this. He says like this, Kasav b'seder hayoyim, it is written in the order of the day. In other words, this is what we say, as we say in Shemayin Esrei, Yiyu l'ratzei nimrei fi, that the words of our mouth should be accepted, so to speak, willing, acceptable to you. So he says, Misugol l'kama inyanim. It's a skula, which means it has a very great power in many, many things. First of all, if you look at the pasuk, Yihyu l'ratzayin, right? So the first letter is a yud. Do you see? Yihyu, yud. It ends with a yud, v'goyali. There's two yuds. It says, and actually there are 10 words in the pasuk itself. So you have three sets of 10. And we know 10 is a complete holy number. Now if you add up the letters in the pasuk, how many letters? There are 42. And we've done this before, but there's a very deep name of Hashem, which is the name of Hashem called Shem Mab, the name of 42. It has to do with the way you say the Yud Kei Vav Kei, but whatever, spell it out. But the point is, it's Kabbalistically a very, very holy name. There are 42 letters. We have the concept of 10 words and the number 10 before, the number 10 after. This is in the Mishnah Berurah. This is not a Kabbalah Sefer. He explains over here, V'soidai soid gadol. Its secret is a very deep secret. Lochein tzarech la'imrei b'nachas. So when we say this verse, we should say it calmly, lekaven, and to have intention, umay il harbe, and it actually helps a lot, lekabel tfilosai, for our tfilos to be received and accepted, v'lo yoshuv reikam, and that they shouldn't be returned empty-handed. What are we saying? Let's even not Kabbalistically. What does this words mean? What does David HaMelech mean when he says Yiyu L'Ratzon? So why we say it twice actually? Because it was a bit of a machlekes of they weren't sure where it's supposed to be inserted. Was it supposed to be done before the paragraph or at the end? So what we do is we say it both times. So we fulfill both. But what does the pasuk mean? So I just want to show you a few beautiful things on what the pasuk means, just in a very beautiful way. So we can see here, well, let's say the Radak tells us, just on Tilim, he says, Yiyu l'ratzain, what does that mean? It should be acceptable. What should be acceptable? What I said with my mouth, right? As we said, imrei fi, what came out of my mouth should be acceptable. And then, umashaloy amarti bifi, but what about the things that I didn't say with my mouth? Whether I couldn't pronounce them, like they I couldn't verbalize them, or perhaps they weren't part of the words of the Shemayna Esrei, Ela chashafti belibi, but I was thinking about them in my heart. We ask Hashem not only that the words of our mouth should be accepted willingly, but also the thoughts in our heart. Yeah, the ratza in the fanecha should be accepted, should be will, it should be something that you like, it should be pleasing to you. Kidvarim rabim yachshev adam belibay. A person thinks many, many things. V'lo yochol ledaber kein bisvasav, and he cannot speak with his lips. So as the Radak means, it doesn't, obviously we're talking what we davened here in Shemayna Esrei, but it means all our davening throughout the day. Many times we have concerns, we have whatever it may be, and we think it, and we can't even say it. We can't even say it to ourselves. It's just impossible to put into words. We ask Hashem that not only should he listen to the words that come out of our mouth and the words even in our mind, but even the thoughts that are mumbled and jumbled in our hearts that we can't even organize, but they're there. All of our fears, all our anxieties, all our concerns, and all our love and all our everything, all the good feelings, that he should accept it all, that he should read it, because we know that that's what Hashem is. Hashem is the one who can see and understand everything that's within our heart. He doesn't just have to hear what we say verbally. And this is a very beautiful and a very deep idea. So this is what we say, Yula Ratzai Imrei Fi Feheg Yain Libi. Sometimes also, though, it can also mean something else interesting, that sometimes throughout Shemayna Esrei, our minds can wander. So we'll be saying one thing, our mouth will be saying one thing, but our hearts are somewhere else. So we ask Hashem, in a sense, almost to forgive us and to accept the words of our mouth, even when our hearts weren't there with it. And then on the flip side, we might be saying some words, but our heart is thinking about something else that is important. And we ask Hashem, look at what our heart is saying. So we ask Hashem to accept the fact that even if our heart and our mouth are not in the same place, he can actually listen to both. And even if it's not 100% the way it should be, but nevertheless, he can listen to both. Okay, and also another very beautiful thing we say, that we actually, this is also a request from Hashem. We say to Hashem, what does it mean, lifanecha, before you? That we ask that all of the words that come out of our mouth and all the thoughts that we have should actually be something that is willing before you, meaning to say that you want, meaning to say that it's pleasing, that it's acceptable in front of you, meaning that we shouldn't say or think things that are against Hashem, things that are not good. And you know, we think, oh, who thinks against Hashem? I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but the truth is, every time that we start to actually worry, we are thinking that, well, Hashem can't manage, you know, he can't take care of it. So we ask Hashem not to give us, that we should not have those thoughts, that rather we should be thinking things which are in sync and will, what Hashem wants us to think. Another very beautiful one. There's a few beautiful ones here. We say, also that it should always, we should always be before Hashem, as we say, throughout the day. I just want to see, because it was a very beautiful one over here. And also, this is a very big one, this will lead to the next paragraph, and also for us to, because as we say, we're almost finishing Shemayin Esrei, and we're going back into the day, which means we're going back into meeting people, to our jobs, to all the things that we engage in the day-to-day world. And what we want to have, Hashem should fill our minds, v'hegyayin libi lefanecha, and fill our hearts, so to speak, with the realization that everything comes only from you, lifanecha. In other words, that our entire day we are before you, and even though it looks like we need to come on to somebody else or to something else, we should remember that the truth is, it's all from Hashem. So again, the interesting thing, lifanecha, we should always feel that we are before you and everything we are receiving is coming directly from you. And anybody else who seems to be an intermediary is only a tool in Hashem's hand. So we should have that for in our mind, that we should really, really be able to remember that constantly throughout the day. Let me just see if there was any more of these. Another also beautiful one. What does it mean when we say Hashem Tzuri V'Goyali? So Tzuri V'Goyali, it says that we should have a very strong joy because we feel strengthened by Hashem and we feel redeemed by Hashem. Also, Tzuri means that Hashem is my rock, which means that we are not afraid. We're not afraid of anything. We're going to re-enter the world, re-enter our day, and we will not have fear. We will feel that Hashem is protecting us and that Hashem is the one who can constantly redeem us. Another thing it says, Tzuri means my rock, Chizki, he's my strength. That I will obviously, it is in him who I trust and entrust all my requests. And then Goyali, you know what we say, even after all the requests, and you know, we make up that we're going to be good and we're going to have a good day and we're going to try our best and we're going to remember that Hashem runs the world and whom we're always standing in front of. But we're people, and we know we're people. So we say, you know what? You are also Goyali. You are also my Redeemer. Meaning to say, you redeem us even when we make mistakes, even when we do the wrong thing. There is hope. There's constantly hope. We can make a mistake, but you will pick us up. You will lift us up again. That's why we truly have Bitachon. That's why we truly feel that we can rely on you. And as we say, Tzuri, which means that Hashem lives, dwells amongst the Jewish people. And very interesting, it says that Hashem is called the heart of the Jewish people. And therefore, he is our rock. He is our Redeemer. Just want to see. And that's all. That's what we believe. That's what we feel. That's what we concentrate. So we ask Hashem to accept everything that we have said with our mouth, we have thought with our heart, and hopefully that we should be able to say and think throughout the day positive, uplifting, encouraging things, both for ourselves and for all the people around us. I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna.